everyone. This is Elder Mark Brazil once again. This is a very special day. First of all, today is the Sabbath day, the day that God has given us. But also, we know tomorrow is Mother's Day. And for us as Adventists, we always celebrate Mother's Day on the Sabbath as well. And so I just want to wish everyone, first of all, a very, very special and happy Mother's Day. I called my mother this morning, and I told her, and I wanted to wish her a quick Mother's Day. And she reminded me, you know, Mother's Day is tomorrow. But I know as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we love to celebrate mothers in the fellowship of believers. I also want to thank all of the participants of the program. Megan, thank you for your special song, and Alicia, who taped her song, and also for our women's ministry leader, Miss Michelle, honoring our mothers. What a special day that we have today. And it's always a blessing to be in God's house, even though we are celebrating, and unfortunately we are exercising the social distancing guidance. But it's okay, because we can still celebrate even in our homes. The title of my message this morning, briefly, is The Faith of a Mother. The Faith of a Mother. I ask that you please bow your heads at this time. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for just the privilege of prayer, the opportunity to come before thy throne of grace. We ask, Lord, that first of all, we want to honor and we thank you for mothers. And we just ask that you be with us, Lord, as we go throughout the service. We pray that something I say, that something I do will be a blessing to someone. We pray that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit where they not see me and they not hear me, but they'll hear a word from you. Guide us and direct us this day, Lord. These things we ask in your holy name. Amen. The faith of a mother. We all remember the summer of 2015. This was a very tenuous time, particularly in the city of Baltimore, Maryland. This was another incident where the Black Lives Matter movement was again in the forefront, where we had the death of Freddie Gray, a 25-year-old who suffered a fatal spinal injury while being transported in the back of a police van. And this happened, which sparked outrage and riots in Baltimore. Why? Because officers Garrett Miller and Alicia White were awaiting trial over a week after he suffered a spinal injury, sometime during the police riot. The whole thing is still kind of murky. But then eventually, later on, all charges were dropped, which sparked a national outrage. But yet, we have the recognition in the midst of disorder. Tanya Graham entered this picture. This was a single mom with six children who denounced vandalism and violence against police officers. She said rioting in Baltimore is no way to go about getting justice for Freddie Gray. But yet, one day, while she was down there witnessing the chaos and the violence and all the destruction that was taking place, she was about fed up with what was going on and was about to turn away and go home when something caught her attention out the corner of her eye. And she looked and she saw this young boy picking up a brick and was about to throw it. And she recognized this was her son. See, her son up to this point had managed to evade all detection from police, from other people around him. But yet, we all know that the introspective eye of a mother, we can never get past. Graham told CBS News that she launched into action after spotting her 16-year-old son wearing a hoodie and a mask amid the protesters. At that point, she said, I lost it. I was shocked. I was angry because you never want to see your child out there doing something like that. Interesting enough, she jumped out, grabbed her son, and pulled him away from that ruckus. 2 days later, this was all caught on video. That video itself went viral, being seen by over 7 million people. And you begin to wonder, what love but a love of a mother? See, whether you are in support of her or not, one thing was undeniable in this action. She wanted to save her son from himself. See, this is how it is for all mothers and grandmothers and aunts and sisters and any caregiver, even fathers who are accepting that role, that you don't want to just save your son from crime, but you also want them to be saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. See, it's interesting. God has instilled a special love in mothers. At creation, this was a subset of himself. We remember in Genesis 1:27, the Bible clearly states that God created man, in his image, male and female, he created them. So we know that it takes the two of them to make up the image of God. The mother's love is a subset of our Creator. Mothers are truly special. Some qualities of a mother, they're patient, they're strong, they're humble, they're empathetic, they're respectful, they're authoritative, they're supportive, they're loving, they're nurses, they're counselors, they're leading referees, but this is just a few. So let's talk about a special mother, a faith in the Bible. Let's go to Mark chapter 7, and we'll start off at verse 24, and I'll read this in your hearing. And from there, he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "From this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in the bed, and the demon gone. Now, this seems like a very interesting transaction. And sometimes, as we studied in our Bible lessons, we have to kind of wrestle with verses and wrestle with various scripture in the Bible to get a clear understanding. See, what's interesting about this passage is, this passage reveals a significant transition in Christ's ministry. We must remember now that before, earlier in this chapter, Christ and his disciples were in the temple, and the Pharisees and the scribes were calling them heretics and wondering, how can you desecrate the traditions of our elders? And Christ wanted them to understand, do you not know who I am? You value tradition over the true Christ, over truth. You value custom and tradition over me. You're blinded. So now Christ decided, now it's time to take my show on the road. He is now leaving the regions of Israel and sharing his word abroad. He had not gone into Gentile territory to embark on a healing ministry, but his fame had reached beyond the borders of Galilee. Now we see this strange account happen. During this retreat into a largely Gentile region, a woman approached Jesus for help. Mark introduced this account with a strong versive conjunction, recorded the fact that in contrast to the need for seclusion, a notable scene developed. See, Mark 7:25 reveals that when the woman heard that Jesus was in the area, she came immediately and fell down at his feet. Thus, the writer expressed the urgency in the mother's heart as she unabashedly pursued Jesus immediately. Next slide. And we see that the hope of this mother's flourished. See, the people of the district were of old Canaanite race, according to the spirit of prophecy. And this is in Desire of Ages. They were idolaters and were despised and hated by the Jews. To this class belonged the women who now come to Jesus. She was a heathen and was therefore excluded from the advantages which the Jews daily enjoyed. There were many Jews living among the Phoenicians, and the tidings of Christ's work had penetrated to the region. Some of the people had listened to his word and had witnessed his wonderful works. This woman had heard of the prophet who, it was reported, healed all manner of diseases. And this is key. As she heard of his power, hope sprang up in her heart. Inspired by her mother's love, she determined to present her daughter's case to him. It was her resolute purpose to bring her affliction to Jesus. He must heal her child. She sought help from heathen gods. So she seeked help elsewhere, but she was able to retain no relief. At times, she was tempted to think, what can this Jewish teacher do for me? But the word had come that he heals all manner of diseases, whether those who come to him for help are rich or poor. She determined not to lose her only hope. Yet, we see that she replied that she was going to come to Jesus. See, the thing is, she wanted to seek her only option in this situation. Her focus was, I need to have help for my baby. This was a special mother's love, a special mother's love. And we see that Jesus had a very peculiar response to her. Mark explains that she was Greek, a Syrophoenician by race. She was a Greek-speaking lady who was a Gentile. So she was hated by the Jews. There was a definitive divide, which made it interesting, the dialogue that Christ was having. Matthew related that her request was formed in a way, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon, but he answered her not a word. So intrusive was the woman that the disciples encouraged Jesus to send her away. This is interesting. Prejudice had prevailed them, and they didn't see her as someone in need. What they saw was someone who was a Gentile. Was she unworthy of his blessing? But Jesus knew better. Jesus replied by saying, I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he said to her, let the children first be filled, for it is not to take meat of the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Jesus used the diminutive form of the term dogs. This is the same Jesus who said in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the same Jesus who tells me to come unto me with all your issues and all your cares. But yet, the way he talked to her, clearly his reference is to the little household pets, which while not children in the house, yet had a place in the affairs of the household. This was a very eye-opening experience. See, the woman followed the Lord's parable, acknowledging the distinction implied by his words. Perhaps she saw a glimmer of hope in the word first, that for Jesus implicitly revealed that while there was a redemptive priority for the Jews, the blessing of heaven did not exclusively belong to them. With remarkable insight, and this is key, and persistence, she replied, yea, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Jesus responded for this saying, go thy way, the demon is gone out of thy daughter. Oh, what faith! This saying implies that she evidenced great faith on her part. Matthew records the assessment of our Lord, O woman of great faith. Because of her faith expressed in her thoughtful exchange with Jesus, the Lord granted her request for a miracle. The verb gone out is the perfect tense reflecting God's sovereign power and authority. The demon left when they spoke and remained out of the girl for the duration of that young lady's life. So, again, this is a very interesting verse. When you read this and you read these verses, you're a little perplexed of the dialogue initially. But then you start to get a clearer understanding of where Christ is coming from, because you understand that we serve a God that he always comes with an agenda. He always has an agenda. Now, what are some valuable lessons from a mother of faith story? I will give you six as we go through this, as I can certainly conclude my message. Number one, this lady had great spiritual insight. Now, we're talking about a heathen woman. This is not a woman of the church. This is not a woman who studies her Sabbath school lesson every day. This is not a woman who has a strong prayer life. But yet, she has great spiritual insight. That is a testimony for us as we go out there. There may be people who are out there that they may not listen to, they might not be church people, and they may not be coming in here and doing some of the things that we do, but there's people out there that the Lord has prepped that may have heard a little pieces of what we believe, and they want to know more. She was not asking the Lord to alter the way he was implementing the plan of God, which would later be carried out by the apostles to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. She was simply asking for a crumb. Faith is based upon understanding the will of God. It is not founded upon knowledge, not in mere. It is founded upon knowledge, not mere emotion. And many times when you read, and I talk, when I've had these discussions about faith with individuals, we read Hebrews 11, and one it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's substance is something tangible. That's something that is not a concept. It's not just a blind hope. You have had some experience with God. You may not have recognized it, but God's always operating in your life. Even before you come into this church, the moment you come out of your mama's womb, God is working with us. And that's what we have to understand. So many times people think, you know, they think, well, this I got lucky today. No, you got blessed today. God is always working on our behalf. Number two, this mother illustrated the connection between faith and unfavorable circumstances. You know, many times when our back's against the wall, that's the time where our faith is elevated. It says, great faith rely upon the Son of God. Faith becomes stronger in times of distress for those who tenaciously depend on God. See, there's going to be a point in our life, beloved, that the Lord is going to strip us of all of our resources. We're going to reach a point where every avenue that we have for escape is going to be exhausted. And we're going to have to rely on only Him, He, who is above. And the Lord will always bring us to our feet, eventually. See, this placket says, it's not the load that breaks you down. It's the way you carry it. So many times our phone lines are saturated with people. You know, they talk about the mental health and people are struggling with this thing. The sin has just so perplexed our minds and we try to do things on our own and we can't do it. We get broken down. It breaks down our very constitution. When we get to a point, the Lord always brings us back to let us reveal to us who He is. See, the Pen of Inspiration says in Testimonies of the Church, Volume 7, she says, God sends trials to prove who will stand faithful under temptation. He brings all into trying positions to see if they will trust any power out of and above themselves. Everyone has undiscovered traits of character that must come to light through trial. God allows those who are self-sufficient to be solely tempted that they may understand their helplessness. Many times when we deal with stuff, the Lord is working on our character. There's something about us that the Lord is massaging. There's something about us that the Lord is saying that has to be exposed so that we can make changes in our life. So His Holy Spirit can come in and reshape our minds and reshape our characters. Many times situations are not just, you're just stuck in, it's not all about bad luck. Many times Christ sends these things our way because He's working on our character. Point number three, this woman demonstrated that great faith seeks the welfare of others. Those who trust in God will intercede for others. How much more ought we to be concerned about the spiritual welfare of those we love? See, we have to understand it's just not about us. This woman sought an audience with Christ because of her love for her child. It was because of a mother's love that she wanted better, that she said, I don't know about this Christ. I don't know. I've never heard. I just hear about Him, but I've never been to a church service. I'm not a Jew. I don't know the law, but I'm out of faith. I'm going to go out of love for my child. Point number four, the Gentile ladies show the relationship between faith and humility. See, her humble disposition complemented her genuine faith. Great faith is seeing one's complete dependence upon God. It is enough to settle for crumbs as long as I am at or near Jesus' table. See, she recognized that not only did she go seek help from Him, but also she had to come humbly. She was at His feet. Lord, have mercy on me. Point number five, this Syrophoenician woman taught us that great faith endures. And this is a lesson for many of us. She was steadfast and resilient in her request of the Lord. Reminiscent of the woman who pursued the unjust judge, she reminds us to always pray and never give up. Many times we've heard sayings where the closer we get to, sometimes we're very on the verge of our breakthrough, and the devil's whispering in our ear, and we're crumbling. We just tired. We want to give up. But basically, the Bible tells us to hang in there. God knows what we're going through. God sees us. We have to be patient, and we have to be persistent. If you want that thing bad enough, sometimes the Lord holds things off, just to see how bad you really want it. He wants to see if you really trust that He will give it to you. We have to recognize that sometimes we have to endure. We have to have a faith that endures. This, you know, this placard says faith is not a movement. Faith is not how God operates and lives. It's how he wants you to live. We have to understand. And then my final point is that the distressed mother exemplified that great faith in the Son of God will result in great deliverance. Although miraculous healings were confined to the first century during the infancy of Christianity, today everyone who will follow the Lord with obedient faith will be delivered from that which plagues all morally accountable people, which is sin. You know, many times you've heard them say that, you know, I've heard various sayings that you know, it gets darkest before the dawn. They said that sometimes you can measure the expanse of your blessing based on the intensity and the level of your adversity. Many times we're in certain situations and you know, we're like, when we're in a valley, it's difficult for us. It's painful. It's a tough situation for us sometimes. But always remember that the tougher the trial, the sweeter the blessing. We always have to look that God is in control. We can't fall to pieces because of the circumstance. God doesn't care about our circumstances. He only cares about our character. And finally, we say, may you find in yourself enough patience to endure and enough simplicity to have faith. Many times, we are the ones that make life much more complicated because we, in our own sinful nature, in our own mindset, we can't relate. We can't understand how God is going to work out of some of our circumstances and situations. We can't, you know, we think that it's going to go this way when God goes that way. We have to have faith in him. We have to have trust in him. We sometimes make his job harder because we're so hard-headed trying to do things our way. We have to come to him with total dependence, with humility, and say, Lord, have mercy on me. So as I summarize, Christ wanted to reward her of his faith in him, but he also wanted to show his disciples the hideousness of prejudice and how it is viewed in his eyes. See, the thing is, when he had this dialogue with her, the disciples assumed that it was in line with their prejudiced mode of thinking. And many times we feel the same way. We look at people, you know, the druggards and the prostitutes and the pimps, and we look at these people with a certain eye. But the Lord wants to remind us that I came for everyone. In fact, many times, you know, you've heard it, that many people in this church are going to be going out there during the shaking, and a lot of them are to be coming in here. You know, we have to understand that God came for everybody. We can't put ourselves up in glass ceilings and barriers around this thing. God died for us all. This prejudice that's going on, Black Lives Matter, all of this racial disharmony and all this stuff is nothing but a ploy of the enemy, because he knows his time is short, and his thing is about separation. Get people, I don't like you, you don't like me, because you either got money, because of your color, because of your gender, because of something about you that separates us. And that's the way that's what the devil wants, is he wants us to stay separate. But we are all God's children. He came to die for us all, not just for the Christian. And so as I sum this up, John 3:16, for God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, we have to understand that many times when we talk about the Godhead, we talk about the Father, but he sent his Son. There was a mother love that was there for him to love us so much. What mother would not sacrifice for her child? That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So finally, as I sum this thing up, when he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he stated the truth. And in his work for the Canaanite woman, he was fulfilling his gospel commission, which is ours as well. This woman was one of the lost sheep that Israel should have rescued. It was their appointed work, the work which they had neglected, that Christ came to do. The act opened the minds of his disciples more fully to the labor that lay before them among the Gentiles. They saw a wide field of usefulness outside of Judea. They saw souls bearing sorrows and unknown to those more highly favored. Among those who they had been taught to despise were souls longing for help from the mighty healer, hungering for the light of truth, which had been so abundantly given to the Jews. So finally, my brothers, being a mother is not about what you give up to have a child, but what you have gained from having one. Many times the Bible has talked about very parables after parables Christ has given it. I'll give you three in particular. The first parable of the lost sheep. If the Lord, the shepherd was, you know, he had the 99 over here, but one loss, the Lord went and looked for. We had the parable of the lost coin, and this is of a woman who was sweeping her house, looking for something of a myriad value. It had value. We have value to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, we all are familiar with the story of the prodigal son, where that he went out and lived his life, but yet his father still waited patiently for his return back to the household. And when he came back, they commenced and having a grand celebration. Our God loves us. He loves us, beloved. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. So as I conclude this message, I want to first say that our first point is that a mother's love her child, like God loves us. You know, 1 John 4:10 says that in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Two, our faith must endure. That's key for us, beloved. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be a mature and complete, not lacking anything. Many times we ask the Lord for prayer and we expect an answer tomorrow, but we have to understand that God has his timeline. God is going to answer his prayer when he sees fit, and we have to understand that we have to be patient. We have to endure, and we have to come with him humbly, and we have to give him our total all. Humble yourself before God, James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Many times we have these preconceived ideas of how God is going to do certain things, and we come to him with an idea, well, if you give me enough money to do this, I can do that. Or if you give me a new car to do this, and I can do that. But God has a million ways to answer our prayers. And we have to understand, we just have to give it to him. We don't have to tell him any directive for how he's gonna bless us. Let him do what he's capable of doing. And finally, Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. See, the mother love of God through Christ is what saves us all. And we have to understand that on this special weekend of Mother's Day, when we look at the sacrifices that mothers have given, think about the sacrifices that our Christ has given for us. He came down to die for us. By his blood, we are all saved. And it's such a blessing. And the best way to think about that, the love of a mother, she looks at her child with care, with tenderness. She looks at her child with concern. Her child comes out and she loves that child even before the child is even acknowledged her, and she loves that child. That's the way Christ is with us. He loves us, even in our sinful state. He loves us, even though we're out there acting fool. He loves us, even though we're clowning, even though we're smoking and drinking and living riotously, you know, even though we're having multiple wives and multiple children, and he loves us in spite of ourselves. What a God we serve. And I'm just so thankful that my God loves me like a mother. A mother rarely turns her back on her child. My God says he will never turn his back on us. God is good. My thing, my beloved, I just pray, Lord, as we go throughout this Sabbath day, that you remember that the God of love, he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, even in our sinful selves. Bow your heads, Father in heaven, we thank you so much for just a brief message reminding us of your love for us. A brief message reminding us that you sent your son to die for us, that you have given us an open invitation. You basically have told us, just come unto me, accept me, accept my grace, accept my blood, accept my sacrifice. All you have to do is believe in me, and I will come and sup with you, and I will fill you with my spirit, and I will give you a directive, show you how to live a life in accordance to my will. Thank you, Lord, for mothers. Thank you for fathers. Thank you for the Sabbath. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for loving me before I loved you. Be with me the duration of this day, and be with us all as we start a new week, that we may remember the God that we love. These things we ask in your holy name. Amen.